Security Police.
I'm in charge of this man.
No longer, madam. He is now in the custody of the Ministry of Science.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
I'm Justin Russo.
I'm Steven Strum.
And this is Suspended License, a podcast where we take your favorite book, movie, or comic, and we just talk about how it would make a great video game. So, Planet of the Apes. You were the one that kind of came up with the idea of including Planet of the Apes in this list, this ever-growing list of licensed properties that we think deserve the video game treatment. So, do you have some background as to kind of why you thought Planet of the Apes would be a strong property?
I don't know. Like, it just seems like it's a thing with that a lot of people kind of overlook in terms of video games. They've never made a video game out of it, as far as I know. And it just seems like it's such a huge world with a lot of stories to tell. They've made so many movies off of it. There was a bunch of scripts that they created that they never got to use. It keeps coming back. People keep trying to remake it and make prequels. Obviously, Rise of the Planet of the Apes and whatnot. But it kind of is always stayed in the movies. I know it started off as a book, I think a French book, and then made into a series of movies, but it's never really branched out. And I think that as such a kind of interesting world, especially with the like how much people love open world games these days and how good open world games have gotten, I think there is a lot of room to tell a story in that same world that you couldn't maybe see in the movies because there's not enough time or there's not enough people behind it. But there are so many stories in there to be told, and I think a video game can do.
And I think in that you sort of revealed what could be kind of the running theme for the Suspended License podcast, in that we've sort of picked these properties, and the properties that appeal the most to us are ones that have these very elaborate worlds that we would really, really like to play in. Mm-hmm. And Planet of the Apes is definitely a great example of one of those.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're kind of talking about Planet of the Apes in general, maybe not a specific movie, but just sort of the themes, the setting, the characters, perhaps. We're not saying necessarily the first Planet of the Apes movie and sticking to that as a game.
Oh, but just definitely sort of not, yeah.
Just the world that movie helped create.
Yeah, that kind of, not only that world that it helped create, but the sort of ideas behind that original movie and the later movies, because as I was thinking about it when I was trying to come up with like good ideas for what you would do in a Planet of the Apes game, it kind of occurred to me that every Planet of the Apes story has had some sort of major social theme behind it. So the first Planet of the Apes was very clearly about racism, and then the second movie was about nuclear war, third movie about women's rights, and then you just keep going on from there, and then until the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is about just a ton of things, very, very open to interpretation. And I thought that we could, it tackles a lot of things that video games don't do, and I think if you kind of took those into account and tried to make a video game around not only the world, but the themes inherent to the world, I think that you'd have something that a lot of people just aren't doing in video games in general, not just with not a Planet of the Apes game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had a, unlike my reaction to Blade Runner, where I went into Blade Runner with this idea that I thought would be, you know, this is what the Blade Runner game would be, and then I watched the movie again, and I was like, wait, that would be a really bad idea. When I went into Planet of the Apes, I definitely had a really solid vision for what I kind of thought a really good Blade Runner game, or a Planet of the Apes game would be, and as I watched the movie, I kind of realized, like, I think maybe my vision might have been kind of spot on for kind of where I'd like to see the game go.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean the inspiration I kind of get for the game would be something like Red Faction Guerrilla.
Oh, okay.
So you're basically a human. You're maybe part of a small group, maybe a small resistance. I couldn't really say. We could kind of talk about the details of that, but basically you would sort of be subverting the ape society and sort of, you know, being sort of a thorn in the side of ape society. And, you know, you could get at, you don't have to copy Red Faction literally and talk about, you know, knocking down buildings and stuff, but just sort of being part of the human opposition to sort of the ape overseers, you know, so sort of like a ground level, maybe a Spartacus kind of thing.
Sure. Okay. Were you thinking like a third person? action game? Like, what kind of actual, like, open world?
You know, that's actually an interesting, I kind of had two schools of thought with this. I was thinking sort of the open world Red Faction guerrilla style, but then I was also thinking like the game Xenoclash, where it's just sort of, it's a brawler, but it's first person, and I think that could be kind of neat, just sort of running around this world, maybe making it quasi-open world and, you know, punching gorillas.
Punching gorillas in the face? Yeah, okay. Sure. Xenoclash, definitely a... I wouldn't have gone with Xenoclash. That's definitely an out-there choice, I think.
Right.
That's out there in every way, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's sort of one of the reasons why it sort of appealed to me, at least in the context of Planet of the Apes, is that it is a very down-and-dirty game. It's very... what's the word I'm looking for?
Gritty?
Wait, what did you say?
Gritty?
Gritty. It's not necessarily gritty, but it's like primitive. You know,
the
setting of it is very primitive. So I kind of like that whole feeling sort of really appealed to me, because when you're a human in the Planet of the Apes world, you are very primitive. I mean, you can't even talk, so...
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, physically, like they mentally... didn't know how to talk, kind of thing.
Right, right.
But they were physically capable of talking. They
correct.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I mean, what did you have some ideas? Kind of, you know, I mean, before you rewatched the movie or while you were thinking about it, like what were some of your ideas?
I was thinking along the lines of sort of an almost horror game, not horror, but sort of very
okay.
tense kind of way of looking at it. But I definitely thought like an open world-ish game.
Mm-hmm.
But my concept for the story kind of indicates sort of the gameplay in this, which is that I was thinking of like something. I was trying to think of the theme that the Planet of the Apes movies haven't really gone in before. And one thing that almost popped into my head was sort of homosexuality and stuff, because it was kind of the first thing that came into my mind. But I was trying to think of how to fit that into Planet of the Apes, and it occurred to me that like. One of the big things behind that theme is parenthood and stuff like that. So my story conceit was that you play an ape in the game, chimpanzee
okay.
probably, because they seem to be the nice
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, they're the compassionate ones.
Yeah, but chimpanzee raised by two humans and rather than two apes. I thought that was kind of interesting, because it would allow you to, in this open world, because the biggest thing I had trouble thinking of is some kind of conceit that would allow you to walk around the world and allow you to explore areas owned by both factions, both the apes and the humans, without being, you know, stabbed to death or shot in the face or choked out or some shit. You didn't want to get Charlton Heston'd,
right.
and
right.
have your brain cut up.
Right.
So I figured if you were an ape, you could enter ape society and stuff like that without being accosted directly, you know, just... directly out of nowhere, but at the same time, because you knew the humans and the humans knew you, you'd at least have access to one human settlement or some, you know, to some human characters to get both sides of the story.
Interesting.
And as far as the like horror thing goes, like I keep coming back to that scene towards the very beginning of the original Planet of the Apes, where Charlton Heston and I think the other astronaut too, the one who ends up getting brain chopped, are running through like the tall grass and.
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding the apes on horseback who, you know, throw those, like, choke collar things around them and whatnot. Like
right,
that.
Right.
I had this sort of idea of trying to avoid being... sort of avoiding capture, sort of half-stealth, half-running.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that was actually something I thought about a lot. Like, I mean, originally I was thinking, I mean, the 60s world, the 60s Planet of the Apes movie, that's the setting for this world. Like, it's so defined, it's so memorable. Like, just the looks of all the characters and the looks of the sets and the clothes and everything, that's the world I want to see in this game.
Right.
But then I started thinking about, now, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the movie that came out this year, that has a lot of potential as well. So then I started thinking, like, man, it'd be kind of cool if maybe you played an ape. But I kind of think that your idea is sort of merging the two different ideas that I had, albeit a lot more high-minded than kind of what I was thinking. But, yeah, you know what? I think that's actually an incredibly good point, the idea of an ape being raised by two humans. Now, it would sort of bring in a lot of... what the character would represent. I mean, would the ape speak? Or would the ape not speak, maybe, because it is raised by humans, so it kind of never was around things that spoke?
I figured that the ape would speak.
I mean, it could be actually a pretty interesting story point in that, since this ape doesn't speak and this ape isn't able to kind of explain itself, maybe when it is eventually captured by other apes.
Or comes in contact with other apes.
Or comes in contact.
Be captured, but yes,
right.
Something happens to it. Right.
So it is, it might look like to other apes from a distance, it will look like an ape. But when it starts to relate to them and try to, maybe barter with them or buy something from them at a shop, then it'll sort of become very obvious that this isn't the typical ape. And I think maybe a kind of a simple way to kind of explain that is that it doesn't talk. It'll make it act like a human, in an ape world. So
you just gave me an idea here that I hadn't occurred to me before, but yeah, this is really good stuff. I think you could almost make a meta commentary on video games, on video game protagonists, which is to say, you could say that the ape starts off and he doesn't speak because he's been raised by humans who didn't, so he never spoke around them. But so you have your character is sort of a Gordon Freeman, Isaac Clarke type character.
Yeah.
Isaac Clarke from the first Dead Space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Type character. But then as he become, throughout the story, maybe he learns how to speak at some point or, begins learning how to speak, and it becomes sort of a, almost like a gameplay conceit. Like, if you ever played Final Fantasy X, there was this whole sort of sub-game about learning this language of this other sort of culture called the Elbed. And by finding these primers, you could learn different letters of their language. And so as you learned more and more of their language, you could understand them better and better because they would translate the letters that you knew were translated to you and stuff like that. So maybe as you learn how to speak, you can unlock different abilities, to barter with the apes and stuff like that.
Okay.
And to progress story functions in some way like that.
Oh.
But then it almost, becomes almost a meta-commentary on video game protagonists because your character doesn't speak and you start off the game thinking that your character just won't speak throughout the whole game. But as time progresses, you realize he can speak. And then you are faced with the different issues that you would normally not be involved with a silent protagonist like Gordon Freeman, but then you just switch halfway through. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's a really, really good idea. I mean, I kind of like the idea of the return of the, the silent protagonist, but also giving it sort of a narrative reason for why it is silent.
Sure.
And giving it compelling it narratively to begin to speak and incorporating the different gameplay elements. So it's almost kind of becoming somewhat of a, BioWare style RPG to an extent, where eventually, maybe at first, your conversation options are incredibly simple, but then, and it may just, your side of the conversation may just be represented by gestures or something, when then, sort of as the story progresses and as you sort of get more familiar with apes and ape society, maybe the conversation options become a lot more complex.
Right, and that could be a good way of sort of limiting players from sort of keeping players on a kind of more narrow line of progression than they maybe normally do in a game and in an open world game, less artificially. So like Red Dead Redemption, you have several kind of key, it's a big open world, but there are several key areas that you can go to. There's the original there's Armadillo is like the first town you've come
right.
in contact with, and then there's Mexico. But your reasoning for not being able to go to Mexico right off the bat is artificially created. It's just basically invisible, almost like an invisible wall. I think they may literally have a wall on a bridge or something that doesn't allow you to go through. But through this, you could go to those towns, but you just couldn't interact with many of the NPCs at later points until you had taught your character, for lack of a better kind of way of thinking about it, before you had taught them how to speak
right.
to the others.
Right. That's awesome. I really like that idea. And it's sort of when you kind of bring up the idea of, representing perhaps the overarching story, or at least the main character, sort of representing one aspect of how homosexuality is treated in society, I could almost see some small side missions where, I mean, this might sound silly, but I think that there's an opportunity to have to say something really nice about it. Is maybe you run into side missions where you're coming across another small village or another small group of people that are, you know, has a human and an ape relationships. So it's a human and an ape together. There's opportunities there to say quite a bit, because at least in the instance of our main character, the humans have an opportunity to kind of make their own child, whereas a human and an ape together wouldn't. So how might they relate to somebody who comes from the background that our main character does, and coming across them like that. And then, you know, obviously you could run across people that are plenty hostile towards us. And I guess I would be interested to see sort of how the story would progress and different areas you would go to and kind of what they would all mean.
Sure. Yeah. I think that would be pretty intriguing. Actually, I was reading up or not reading up. I should say I was watching the Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, recently, the Blu-ray combo thing, call it the special features, the commentary, and there was a thing on one of them about this sort of scrapped idea for a Planet of the Apes sequel called Planet of the Men, I believe, and in that story, they actually encounter a half-human, half-ape, so it's like it kind of almost even ties into the history of the franchise in a little way by kind of remarking on stuff like that. I kind of like that.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah, and I think that what my idea that I had, sort of the Volition style open world game, it kind of played off of some themes that in the 80s, I believe his name was Adam Rifkin, a Hollywood screenwriter, was put in charge of rebooting the series, and he kind of created it as this, he wrote it as sort of the Spartacus style, you know, gladiatorial combat and all kinds of big major set pieces and action and everything. And I definitely think there's a lot of potential for that, those kind of themes sort of being brought into a game kind of like what you're talking about. Maybe our main character kind of gets caught up in some sort of uprising, or maybe it could even come down to sort of the different choices. I mean, will he eventually be accepted by the apes, and will he become part of the ape culture and eventually learn to persecute humans, or will he remain human to an extent and, you know, help the humans sort of gain independence and gain some semblance of the niceties of society without being constantly persecuted by the apes.
Right. That's pretty cool. I always hate sort of those binary endings where it's like you can pick to be a total...
Yeah, you could do this or this, right.
You can be a total, complete asshole, or you can be like Mother Teresa. Those are your options. Now get to them.
Yeah. Nobody really likes those. The really binary endings, you know, something like Infamous. I mean, Infamous was great, but it was a little cheap.
And Infamous 2 kind of fixes that a little to an extent. The still a binary ending, but both binary endings are pretty gray, which is kind of cool. So yeah, I kind of like the idea of maybe giving more than two choices, maybe. So like either obviously you can side with the humans and have them kind of find their revenge by taking over the world back for humanity or something like that. But then you can side with the apes and kind of crush the human resistance, maybe, and take them down. Or maybe you can try to find some middle ground and try to
bring
them together.
That's something that you could explore with perhaps different factions. I mean, maybe there's a group of humans that are complete pacifists and basically just want to go out in the jungle and be left alone, whereas maybe there's another group of humans that are very activist and want to take down the ape society, and maybe there's another group of apes that don't give a shit about humans and just don't feel the need to do anything to them, whereas then you've got the main ape society that is actively rounding up humans and experimenting on them. So you can have a lot of different factions that you, as your as an ape raised by humans, you can kind of move between all of these. So
I mean, even even in the ape hierarchy, there are like three built right in, three different sort of factions built right in. You've got the orangutans, the gorillas, and the chimpanzees, and each of those has their own goals and ambitions and everything. And obviously, the gorillas kind of work for the orangutans more. But even if you decide to, you know, you can decide to side with the humans. You could maybe have several factions of humans with varying goals and several factions of apes with varying goals, and you could side with the orangutans, and they use humans for experiment. You know, they're doing some kind of human experimentation. You have to work in stuff like the lobotomy,
absolutely,
human lobotomy,
absolutely.
Like that, if nothing else, and then the chimpanzees are obviously much more peaceful, and there's other things you could do in within there. I think that building the sort of the ending choice game end choice. I don't know what you'd call that exactly. You know, where you the binary choices, but non-binary choice, I guess. The multiple endings, that's what it's called. I don't know why I was freezing on that. But building that into the structure of the game that is already there, or into the structure of the story that's already there, you've got, because you've got the orangutans, and you've got the gorillas, and, you know, such and so on. So I think that would be very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So then it also sort of begs the question that one of the things that the original movie is so famous for is the ending, and sort of the, I guess you could call it a twist ending. I mean, if you rewatch the movie, you could kind of see little hints here and there. But is that something you can see sort of incorporating, or does that really even matter, I guess, to the grander scheme? I mean, is it? I think the world itself is more compelling than the ending is. So I'd be of mind to sort of say, I don't really give a shit about having a twist ending necessarily.
I don't know if you necessarily have to have a twist ending, but again, it was another thing that they mentioned when they were trying to make a sequel to the Planet of the Apes, is that it took them forever to get Beneath the Planet of the Apes off the ground because they couldn't think of a decent sort of visual shock that really matched the Statue of Liberty thing. Oh, spoilers! If you haven't seen Planet of the Apes...
Okay. I think you can kind of assume.
I think we can kind of assume that. I'm just just want to make absolutely clear that, the spoiler here. At the end of the Planet of the Apes, you find out that it is, in fact, it is Earth, and it humans blew it all up. They blew it all up. God damn you. God damn you, you blew it all up. I think each ending would need some kind of visual sort of iconic thing that could happen at the end of it, or maybe just before each ending, no matter what way you go through, you see something that you find out about something and notice something, or something that is shocking and a visual sort of cap to the experience. You know, I want to reward people with something, and a boss fight is not what I want to want to give them. But with Planet of the Apes, you can obviously go, rather than in a boss fight, you go the route of having them make some kind of shocking discovery, some visual discovery.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, depending on which kind of faction you end up aligning yourself with, you know, the ending could change significantly from there. I mean, if you end up with sort of the militant humans, perhaps maybe the last shot is you sort of joining their ranks and them sort of revealing that, oh, we have this nuclear weapon that we found, you know.
Sure, something along those lines. Or if you join the apes, you fight the Statue of Liberty comes to life, Ghostbusters style, and that's the boss fight.
Awesome.
I would play that.
That actually sort of while you're thinking, or while you're talking, something popped into my head. Sort of the idea of maybe doing it, sort of aping the, pardon the pun, but aping the Mass Effect style, and sort of doing a doing some sort of like DLC, sort of like the Normandy crash site DLC in Mass Effect 2, where you go to the Statue of Liberty and you're sort of walking around, and it's very somber because you kind of know what it represents and everything. But then as I was thinking about that, I was wondering, so where do you see this game taking place along the timeline? Will it take place perhaps before the Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes, during, or maybe even after, or maybe we'll expand all of that?
It's so hard because at the end of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston's last movie in the franchise, they sort of destroy the Earth.
Right.
And that doesn't leave a huge chronological time period to play around with. The only thing I can think of is maybe do something I mean, anytime you get involved with time travel, there's all kinds of craziness that can go on. So I was thinking maybe something along the lines of a parallel universe, a splinter universe or something. I'm not totally sure how everything reconciles itself with Rise of the Planet of the Apes, whether or not Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the new retconned version of events, or if that is a alternate timeline of some kind. I really don't know. I don't know what would we do. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think sort of, I like the idea of sort of having this undercurrent of they found this human that can talk. So maybe your character, like that, okay, so they found Taylor. So your character as an ape who can't talk, maybe you're sort of intrigued by that. So you want to sort of, maybe you want to find Taylor. So I like the idea of maybe having it happen sort of starting maybe during the middle of the first movie and sort of ending between the first movie and the second movie somewhere. You could tie in the nuclear mutants underneath the Planet of the Apes as well if you'd like to, but I don't necessarily know that you need to. It would be maybe like a really cool ending to maybe throw those guys in there, but I like the idea of, because I think that Taylor will represent, at least to our main character, you know, maybe a fellow person who doesn't quite fit. I mean, he speaks, but he hangs out with humans who don't speak. So,
my original idea that I kind of thought of was that for the timeline, and I had kind of ignored it because I thought it maybe sounded kind of dumb, but I'll bring it up anyway, is a sort of idea that it takes place after Beneath the Planet of the Apes, and you find out that the bomb that destroys the Earth, the Doomsday Weapon, wasn't actually nearly as powerful as they thought it was, and only wiped out like a small area, and that the game takes place on like another continent, and rather, because Beneath the Planet of the Apes, like the last thing that happens in that movie is like a narration that just says the Earth is dead, basically.
Right.
But I'm wondering if maybe that they had severely overestimated the importance of the bomb, because they worship the bomb as a god, actually, the mutants.
And that is actually kind of an interesting, that could actually be an interesting take, sort of the idea that the nuclear bomb didn't explode everything, and it maybe could have possibly incensed the apes to sort of go on a all-out genocide against the humans.
Sure, maybe they blame
the humans caused this, so let's just get rid of them once and for all.
I mean, and they don't know that the humans caused it because they weren't there, right. Otherwise they would have been vaporized. But,
but
blame it on them.
Right. Yeah, I kind of have a feeling the apes would blame it on the humans.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't seem very forgiving, so.
Exactly. If you did it on a different area of the planet, you could. It gives you more freedom as to the environments that you encounter. You could even have apes discovering old-time human technology. So it's like future technology to us, but past like ancient technology to them. Maybe kind of using some kind of ancient human weapon to try and wipe out human existence. And that's sort of the central conflict of the game, is that the apes are trying to wipe out humanity with this like super weapon that they have discovered.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that could actually be kind of interesting to maybe even discover what this super weapon is. Maybe it's another nuclear bomb. Maybe it's some sort of biological weapon.
I was almost thinking, for a second there, like maybe they have this kind of, they keep referring to it as the Doomsday Weapon or something like that.
I got it. So that's your way to tie in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Oh, yeah.
I assume.
I love that movie. Yeah.
So spoilers for that.
Real spoilers for this one, because there are probably people out there who haven't seen this.
Yeah, definite spoilers. But the virus that they create that makes the apes smart also kills humans.
Yeah.
So maybe the apes sort of come across a cache of this virus sort of stored somewhere, and maybe they probably know what it is because it's maybe handed down from their scripture or something. So they've got this virus and they're ready to sort of unleash it. Maybe that's kind of what the last minute reveal is that the apes have.
Or I even think you were talking about twists. A nice twist would be sort of a Left 4 Dead type thing. Left 4 Dead, if you read the comics that Valve puts out, which probably not a lot of people do, you find out that the survivors in Left 4 Dead aren't immune to the zombie virus, but they are still carriers for it. So that's why everybody they meet throughout the game always turns into a zombie, is because they are spreading this virus all around. what I kind of like the idea of the main character that you're playing as finding out at some point that he has been infected with this virus on purpose and has been spreading it around, because obviously the apes can carry the virus because it affects them.
Right.
It affects them by making them smart, but then at the same time, it's deadly to humans. So
right.
I think you get the visual shock of like having them build it up and build it up and build it up as a doomsday weapon. You keep expecting a bomb or a super ship or a tank or something crazy, and then you find out that it is in fact this like that you go to this lab and you see the humans in sort of chains and stuff being like experimented on with this virus and things, and the apes using half sort of blending human and ape technology. The apes obviously didn't have super advanced technology, but with mm-hmm. with the more advanced ancient human technology, they could maybe advance a little bit more.
And so now this might be a good time to kind of transition into, I think we've kind of covered heavily what we think the game would be narratively,
uh-huh.
and we've even kind of touched on sort of gameplay elements, but, I mean, what are some ways to kind of take our concept and sort of make a game out of it, you know? I mean, is this going to be something that's, you know, something like a BioWare-style RPG or a Bethesda-style RPG where you're kind of in the world and you don't necessarily have to run around and shoot people like in Call of Duty, but you can, you know, just experience the world and converse with people and sort of go on little quests? Or is this sort of, will there be something that will kind of compel you to kind of move forward? Something like Infamous maybe comes to mind. It's maybe a little bit more action-focused, less of an RPG, less of a story-focused. So, like, are there elements where you maybe come across a cache of old human weapons, and that's maybe one of your primary weapons is, like, this old rifle? Or, you know, I mean, are you going to walk around with... Are you going to have loadouts and things like that? Or where do you see it going with that?
When I was thinking about this, the very first thing that came to mind was Condemned Criminal Origins and Condemned in a sequel, Condemned Bloodshot, which is that you, in those games, it's a first-person beat 'em up like Xenoclash, in that, yeah, you have weapons and you're still beating on people in the first person, but the kind of central problem is that you don't have guns very often. It's very much about
okay.
carrying around whatever you can find. In Condemned, it's like ripping pipes off of walls and like nailed boards out of the floor and stuff like that. And then occasionally you come across guns, but then you have very limited ammunition for them. And that was sort of my original idea.
I can definitely see that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of sort of being thrown into a fight, perhaps, and then you have to very quickly look around your environment and find the thing that you're going to grab to beat the shit out of somebody with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to go into it bare knuckle and perhaps lose, or are you going to go into it and maybe grab a branch or grab a pipe or grab a floorboard or something and take care of them?
Grab your own.
I think that could...
We're talking about
apes here. That could bring in a lot of some interesting strategy maybe into the game.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like that idea. I like that. As far as like the open world framing, I figured something along the lines of a Red Dead Redemption almost came to mind. Maybe mm-hmm. make it in third person rather than first person. Make it a third person beat 'em up, but where you still have to find weapons around you and stuff, and because you know ammunition is so scarce because it is the end.
I'm almost seeing sort of this sort of like at the end of a fight in Batman when you have the last punch, it sort of goes into this slow motion. That's more of a stylistic thing, but sort of thinking of a way to some kind of take that idea and make it part of the gameplay. Maybe when you're about to get into a fight, it maybe goes into this like slow motion, and then you maybe see these objects sort of around you in the environment, and you have to quickly press, you know, X, Y, whatever, and sort of grab, okay, if I press X, I'll grab a rock, and the rock is going to be my weapon for
like
this fight. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
That's how it works in Heavy Rain. Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
So just sort of this little quick moment where you have to decide very quickly, how am I going to do this?
Yep.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that the fight will then become a quick time event. It'll just be... The outcome of the fight will then be decided, I guess, based on, or the length of the fight even could be decided based on what's at hand, what's around you to grab.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a cool...
And it could, you know, it could speak to sort of the resourcefulness and how large elements of the ape culture are based on these sort of odd perversions of 20th century human technology, and sort of they've scrapped together a lot of these things. I mean, there's the one scene in the original movie where they're taking pictures, you know, like, how do they, that's just like, that's insane that they're using this old school camera, you know? So it could speak a lot to sort of the scrapped together nature of the society and all the different elements that have come together to form it. So I think there's a lot of room to do a lot of really fun stuff, you know? I mean, it could be as simple as grabbing a rock, or it could be grabbing a branch, or, you know, a weapon even, you know?
I like that.
So
cool. Yeah, I like, that's a pretty cool idea. I think we've kind of talked Planet of the Apes to death.
Yeah.
I'm kind of out of ideas, right? At least right now, nothing's popping into my mind. I'm sure as soon as this is over, I will have every greatest idea that has ever been made in the world and know where to talk about it. But
I think I kind of came into this with this idea of kind of doing this ultra simple sort of beat 'em up kind of game, and I think I kind of fell into the trap that a lot of licensed properties fall into, in that you take this property and you just sort of put like some basic game around it. But you definitely thought about it maybe a little bit more than I did, and I think it was all for the better, because I think we got a pretty good conversation out of it.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good question for you. Who would you like to see make a game?
I mean, I think we talked a lot about BioWare. I gotta say, I would play a BioWare Planet of the Apes game.
So. Yeah, actually, BioWare Planet, when you actually just say it out loud, just BioWare Planet of the Apes game, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first went into this, I was totally thinking, like, man, I want a Volition Planet of the Apes game where I'm just beating the shit out of apes, you know? but no, I kind of want... I want the game that we just talked about. So.
Yeah, the game...
I would love the BioWare style.
Yeah, BioWare style would be definitely pretty cool. I'm trying to think of one for myself, because I think BioWare pretty much says it all. But actually, I think CD Projekt would be a really cool developer.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, right? Ah, oh, man. CD Projekt.
Holy shit. That's... Yeah.
For those who don't know,
I like
CD Projekt are the guys who do the Witcher games. They run goodoldgames.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah. The Witcher 2, especially, if you look at that kind of world, I think that would be perfect for it.
Wow. Yeah, I'd put them on my list. I'd play that game for sure.
Definitely. I think they'd be a very cool choice to give it to. But I think we've kind of talked, like I said, we've kind of talked at the Planet of the Apes to death.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, I think so too. So I think that'll cover it for this episode, and we'll be back in maybe a couple more weeks with something else. So, all right. Well, I guess that'll take care of it for Suspended License this week. And I'm Justin Russo.
Do you want to tell them our Twitter handles?
Sure. My Twitter handle is at the Roostar with two R's at the end.
I am at Steven Strom, STEVENSTROM, and not with a PH, people, and not with a U in the Strum, because I get that a lot. Okay. So can I say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Get on it, developers.
That's it. That's our tag.
Ooh, help me, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Has there ever been a movie, book, or other licensed property that you think would make a great video game? Then let us know by emailing us at suspendedpod@gmail.com or on Twitter @suspendedpod.